This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Break the Glass, Brett Ahrens is here because we finished the first half of the year and in extreme puzzlement about what and when and how the U.S. will recover. The pandemic is behind us, sort of. At the same time, the recovery is in front of us, sort of. We have, however, a report from the markets that's gloomy. Generally, it's called a bear, but this looks like beyond bearhood. Brett, a very good evening to you. I read from the report in the Wall Street Journal in these last hours about the performance of stocks and bonds and other assets in the first half of this year. Bitcoin down, consumer discretionary down, communication services down, technology, emerging markets, S&P 500, financial stocks, investment grade bonds, high yield bonds, treasury, 7 to 10 year, all down, all down. The only thing that's not down are energy stocks, and the energy story is extremely shaky, as you know, because there's a war in Europe and there's a shortfall of energy for the European nations and perhaps America as well coming into the winter time. So, looking at this picture gloomy, what does Break the Glass Ahrens make of the second half of the year? Good evening to you, Brett.
Good evening. Good evening. Great to be here. Yes, we've had a terrible first half of the year. You know, it's quite entertaining. There's a money manager out in the Midwest tracks something called the all assets, no authority portfolio. And it's essentially the seven major asset classes. And essentially the bonds and stocks are all down. If you had commodities and gold, which are two of their seven, You did all right. Commodities are very much up. Gold, I think, is roughly break even. But everything else, stocks and bonds, were down. International, U.S., high yield, inflation protected, everything. Well, to some extent, it was because a lot of things were overvalued on the bond side. So it's been a very bad first half of the year, but there's an upside to that. And I also say there's an upside to these liquidation events, these across the board sell-offs, which is that you essentially have a free do-over. Because if you came into this year taking too much risk and you had too many stocks and not enough bonds, because stocks and bonds are both down, you can swap out some of your stocks for bonds with a relatively low penalty. It's not as if stocks went down and bonds went up and you were very much on the wrong side of that trade. Everything's down. So you can sell some of the stuff that went down and buy some other stuff that went down. So I'm quite, I wouldn't say I'm bullish, but I like it when things go down because I can buy more and I can buy them cheaper. Warren Buffett always says, I like it when things go on sale. I like it when, you know, hamburger goes on sale. I like it when stocks go on sale. Other people sometimes say that the stock market, Wall Street, is the only store where people leave. People run out of the store screaming when prices go down.
This is Break the Glass Ahrens of Market Watch Return on Investment. So we're looking at the second half of the year. If you like a perfect bear, we're in one. Now, what is driving this gloom? I understand markets being overbought and then being oversold. But the gloom, the recession isn't adequate enough to frighten people with. They're talking about stagflation. They're talking about the economy crashing. Maybe 20-30% below here. Is this politics? Is this the war in Europe? How do you measure this, Brett?
What it is really is it's about interest rates. We've lived for a long period of time on a global policy of low interest rates. Low interest rates in Japan, lowest interest rates in Europe, low interest rates here in the United States. And what's happened is the inflation panic of the first half of the year has caused the market to start to think that maybe these low interest rates are a thing of the past, and maybe we're going to go back to 1980s or 1970s type interest rates, where short-term rates were, 4% and treasury bond yields were 6% and all the rest of it. So people have sort of reacted to the inflation shocks of the first half of the year by thinking, oh, we're going to have, much higher interest rates, and the easy money policies are all going to end. Well, the Fed has been withdrawing money from the market really for about 6 months. So a lot of this is already done. And I got to tell you, I would be very surprised indeed if we actually get these sustained higher interest rates. I don't see the, I think that the market has already fully priced in the idea that we're going to have essentially nearly 4%, 3.5% short-term rates by early next year. The market is already anticipating that. And I got to tell you, it's more likely that the Fed is going to start cutting rates sooner rather than later. I think people have got very, very, very bearish on interest rates, or they think that interest rates are going to rise much more than I think is likely. In fact, we are probably already in a recession. The latest numbers from the Atlanta Federal Reserve, which tracks real-time data on the economy, they reckon that in the second quarter, the market shrunk. And we know that the market shrunk in the first quarter, at least technically. So that's two quarters back to back, which means that we are already in a technical recession. Now, it's an odd recession because there is still seems to be full employment and a lot of employers can't find the staff. That's because I think to some extent people are in the wrong jobs. You know, people like, you know, Amazon or Peloton or whoever overhired. Meanwhile, restaurants and stores can't find staff. So there's going to be a lot of people laid off from places like, you know, not necessarily Amazon, but from Web 3.0 companies and crypto companies and all this stuff. And they're going to be getting jobs in other companies where they're looking for work. I have a joke that you will remember that back when the first internet bubble collapsed, B2B, which had previously meant business to business, was relabeled back to banking. And B2C, which during the internet bubble was supposed to mean business to consumer, was relabeled back to consulting. Well, I think that BTC, which are the initials for Bitcoin, is going to mean back to Chipotle. I think a lot of these crypto kids are going to end up back doing entry level jobs that they were doing before they thought they were going to be crypto billionaires.
Jason Dreho, head of asset allocation in America's UBS Global Wealth, says that he believes the summer will remain volatile. Do you go along with that? Because we're so sensitive to every economic data point.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I don't think, you know, to be honest, volatility is the norm. I mean, there's the famous line about the journalist who went up to J.P. Morgan Senior and asked him for what was going to happen to the stock market, and he said, "My forecast is stock prices will fluctuate." Volatility is the norm, and it's especially common in the summer. I think partly because a lot of people are away, you know, and therefore volumes are lower. And I think that may be one reason why volatility seems to be a particular feature of the summer months. So I wouldn't expect the volatility to go anytime soon. But I will say this, the amount of bearishness out there now, the amount of gloom is so pervasive, I find it very hard not to imagine that the next move is up. And that doesn't mean it's guaranteed to be up, but I find it, there is so much bearishness. I have to ask myself, who else is left to come into the market and start selling? And I would have thought the first soft information on inflation that we get, the first sign we get that inflation may be rolling over, that may be coming down, that maybe interest rates won't have to rise so far, maybe the Fed won't be so constrained about raising interest rates. The first sign of that, I would expect the stock market to really get a big boost upwards.
Brett Ahrens, Market Watch, Return on Investment, Break the Glass Ahrens. This is John Batchelor.